This is White Sox Weekly, your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Welcome on into White Sox Weekly. The autumnal weather is here, as is the pumpkin spiced flavored everything, and of course, sweater weather. And most importantly, it is playoff baseball. We were treated to two games yesterday. The Mariners beat the Blue Jays 6-2 to take a 3-2 lead in the ALCS. That game, that series will extend or begin, will continue on Sunday night right here on ESPN 1000. Again, the Seattle Mariners have a 3-2 lead over the Blue Jays. That series goes back to Toronto after a Eugenio Suarez's clutch grand slam gives the Mariners the win. But back-to-back Friday nights, we were treated to some spectacular baseball. Last week, it was the Mariners beating the Tigers in the ALDS with one of the greatest playoff games in Major League history, the 15-inning affair. Covered that quite a bit last week here on White Sox Weekly. Last night, I mentioned the Mariners getting the win in the first game, and then the Dodgers. We saw an all-time performance from one of the all-time greats.
Oh, my goodness! Shohei Ohtani! Wow! Up and over the roof! Ohtani, oh. Did he? Ohtani! Ohtani has done it again! His third home run!
That was Shohei Ohtani last night. 3 homers, including 10 strikeouts on the mound. That's the insane thing there. Shohei Ohtani with a performance for the ages, as he was named the NLCS MVP primarily on the strength of last night's game, leading the Dodgers to a 4-0 sweep over the Brewers, and they will compete in the World Series as they will try and win back-to-back titles. It'll be, if they can do it, it will be the first time since 2000 that a major league team has repeated. Of course, the Yankees had the three-peats back in 98, 99, and 2000, as the Dodgers will try and become the first team to do so since the Yankees did it at the turn of the century. So the Dodgers sit back and await the AL opponents, which will then begin the World Series. The World Series set to begin next Friday night. So we'll be treated to back-to-back-to-back Friday nights of some very interesting baseball, and we shall see if the Dodgers and their opponents can treat us to another spectacular Friday night of baseball next week. Nevertheless, though, first things first, again, the ALCS, it'll be the Mariners and Blue Jays in Toronto tomorrow night for Game 6, with the Mariners having an opportunity to advance to take on the Dodgers. We'll cover plenty more on the Dodgers and the potential World Series next week on White Sox Weekly. But of course, you're tuning into White Sox Weekly to hear plenty of White Sox coverage. And so this week we'll set the stage for the 20th anniversary of the White Sox triumph over the Astros in 2005. We're going to reminisce a lot about that and go around Major League Baseball as well. I'm Jeff Mellor. This is White Sox Weekly right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Damon, the second baseman, plays up the middle. And there's a drive. That's hit deep. Left center field. And it's a goner. There's a home run for Sosa. The White Sox are on the board.
Yes, indeed, they were on the board that evening. And if that voice sounds familiar, but maybe, just maybe, you can't put your finger on it, that, of course, was the dulcet tones of one John Rooney. the play-by-play man, the longtime play-by-play man for your Chicago White Sox, and of course, the endearing voice during the 2005 World Series championship season. John Rooney was in the booth earlier this year back on July 11th as the White Sox had their reunion weekend on the same weekend that they unveiled the Mark Burley statue. And John Rooney was kind enough to join us up in the booth with Len Casper and Darren Jackson. And he grabbed the mic for some play-by-play action to bring us back to those good old days. And it was pretty cool to have Lenin Sosa deliver a home run with John Rooney on the call. It was one of those cool goosebump moments for, I think, Sox fans. And for me as well, I'll admit, when I got my start in this business, one of the first tasks I had was producing John Rooney and Bruce Levine with their Talking Baseball show every Saturday morning. And so now it feels like in some ways I've come full circle as the pregame and postgame host of White Sox games and, of course, joining you each and every Saturday here on White Sox Weekly. So that was a great moment to reconnect with John Rooney, to have him in the booth calling a White Sox home run like he did and just bringing us back to that 2005 season, which we've been celebrating a lot this year because it, of course, is the 20th anniversary of the 2005 World Series Championship. And we are now officially embarking upon the week in which it will be the 20th anniversary. Of course, Game 1 of the 2005 World Series was on October 22nd, and that was when the White Sox hosted the Astros. So this week you will be hearing and seeing lots of highlights as we reminisce about that great time in White Sox history. So be on the lookout. And because we will be reconvening next Saturday, I figured I'd get the jump and get you that first taste as we bring you down memory lane with all of those fantastic highlights, not just of the World Series, but the entire 2005 postseason run. We were your home for the 2005 White Sox right here on ESPN 1000 as we are now, and it will be very cool to one day, hopefully in the not too distant future, be playing a more current montage of your White Sox winning the World Series. But until we get there, let's remember some of the great times 20 years ago with John Rooney and Ed Farmer on the call of that magical, dominant White Sox playoff run in which they won the World Series over the Astros back in 2005.
2-2 on Coco Crisp. Here's the pitch. Swing and a ground ball. Ross Glow diving stop to his feet. Underhands to Takatsu for a White Sox winner.
That's how you draw it up. I believe 1-0 for the minimum. I believe the 28 men batted today for the Indians.
1-0 the final. The Sox win over the Cleveland Indians. The home opener, the season opener, goes in the books with a W.
Tying run at second, two outs. The pitch by Hermanson. Swing and he popped him up. Right side, Canerco is under it. Paul makes the catch for a White Sox winner.
The 0-2 pitch with two outs. Boone swings and misses. A White Sox winner.
1 hour and 39 minutes. This is one of the fastest games I've ever seen. He struck out a dozen. A career-high 12 strikeouts for Burley, allowing one run on three hits. And all three hits belong to the same man, Ichiro.
3-2 on Dye. Hawkins with the pitch. Dye hits a drive, deep left center field, and this is going to go. Home run, Jermaine Dye.
Rowland takes off on the 3-2 pitch.
Swing and a drive, deep left center field. This might go. It's a goner and a White Sox winner.
This place is electric.
Tricep kick, another 3-2.
Swing, long one to left. Down the line to the pole, to the bullpen. Gone, home run. After a lengthy at bat, Canerco puts the Sox up 4-2.
Look at second, 2-2 pitch, swing, ground ball right side, Throop for a hit.
Rounding third is Creedy, steaming home. The throw from Brown late. Sox lead 2-0, but Sednik's 3-for-3.
C works from the high set, the pitch.
Creedy hits a high fly ball, deep left center field, and it's a goner, a two-run homer.
The pitch to Frank, swing, and a high fly ball.
That's deep center field. Back to the wall, Sullivan, goodbye! A home run out there by the Rocks.
The 1-1.
Dye hits a drive, deep left field, way back, it's a goner and a White Sox winner.
Here's a swing and a high fly, deep right, cuts them all. This is way out of here, folks, a two-run homer for Everett.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a drive, left center field. Here's Rowan on the run, on the move. He dives and makes the catch for a White Sox winner.
Hang a star on that one, folks.
The runner doesn't go. The pitch.
High drive, deep left. It's 11. It's 11 home run. Frank, for the second consecutive night, has hit a three-run home run. Yesterday it was in the eighth. Tonight it's in the fifth.
The pitch on the way.
Thomas unloads. He hits it deep to left. And it's a three-run homer.
This place is up for grabs.
Look at first, the 2-1. Swing, bouncing ball. Garland jumps and gets it. Throws to first.
What a play by John Garland.
There's a 2-1 to Gucci.
Swing and a long one to left. This has got a chance to the track. Chris to the wall. We're tied at three. Home run for Tadahito.
Fever works on the stretch, the pitch.
Rowan sends it deep to left field. This is going to go. It's a goner and a three-run homer.
That went to the Metal Supply Company building on the second level.
Now the 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. A swing and a line drive. Pop for Broken Urko. He made the play. It's a White Sox winner and a Central Division title.
Got to find a way to not only win here, but keep going. I mean, there's three more levels to go to, and I've been to the second round. I like to get to the World Series and have a chance to win that, and so this is what it's all about right here.
The pitch to Brzezinski. A swing, and there's a drive. Deep left center field. Way back. It's a gunner. A three-run homer for A.J. Brzezinski. Light it up and go nuts for a while. Goes opposite field. A bomb to left. It's been a huge first. And here's a drive deep right field. This is going to go. That's the first home run he has hit this season. A three-run shot for Pacetnik, and his home run comes in the division series. The pitch, a long one to left center field. Pacetnik back to the wall, and he reaches and makes the catch for a White Sox winner.
One ball, one strike on Aguchi. A look at first, the 1-1. Curveball hit deep to left.
This has got a chance to the bullpen. Three-run homer, he picked up Pacetnik. Sox lead 5-4.
The pitch to him. A ground ball to the shortstop. Uribe has it, and he throws out Renteria for a White Sox winner.
The pitch.
A swing and a high fly ball.
Like I
deep
said.
Left field. Way back, and it's a gunner! Way out of Fenway Park for Konerko.
He threw it again, and it did too much. I said the monster seats went over it.
And El Duque is ready from the belt. The pitch. A swing, and he popped him up. Off with the mask, A.J. Brzezinski. Here comes Konerko. The infield fly rule is called, and Konerko catches it in the fungo circle up the first baseline. And another 3-2 pitch to Graffinino. Swung on, he popped him up. The shortstop, Uribe, calls for it. The infield fly is called, and Uribe makes the catch. The runners go, the pitch. Strike three, a swing and a miss on a curveball down and in. Hocus pocus, says Hernandez.
We get him the cap, the cape, and the little wand because he'll make a rabbit out of his hat.
The 1-0 pitch. A swing and a smash. Konerko, a dive.
He has it while moving to his right. Flips to Hernandez for the out. A sensational play.
Bobby Jenks is ready. The kick and the one-strike pitch. A swing and the ball's hit past the mound to Iguchi. He has it and throws him out for a White Sox winner.
And the White Sox are going to the American League Championship Series.
The payoff pitch with two outs. A.J. swings and misses a splitter. He strikes out. Five strikeouts for Escobar as he has worked through three innings. And A.J. has been awarded first base. Was that catcher's interference?
He said that the ball bounced, and now here comes Socha, and Erstad's got something to say, and A.J.'s at first base.
A.J. is at first base. That ball did bounce.
A pitch by Escobar.
Creedy hits a drive. Left field to the corner. This one is off the wall. Ozuna scores. It's a White Sox winner, and the ALCS is tied at a game apiece.
Fans are going nuts all the way around this facility. We call U.S. Cellular. We got even. Nice job by Brzezinski. Greedy, by the way, hit an 0-2 pitch. Sox win.
Another wide one. Everett will come up with two men on base.
Don't think Gulacki doesn't know that either, John.
Konerko hits a drive. Deep left center field. This one's taking off, and it's a gunner! A two-run homer for Konerko, and the White Sox lead 3-0.
Guerrero is 1-for-3 with an infield hit tonight. He swings and drives it to right. There's Jermaine Dye for a White Sox winner. Now 3-2 on Konerko. The pitch on the way. Konerko hits a drive to left center field. Way back it goes. Back to the wall. It's a gunner. A three-run homer for Konerko. And the White Sox, like last night, break out on top 3-0 in the first. The 1-2 pitch from Freddy Garcia to Kochman. A hot shot to second to his left. Iguchi gobbles it up and throws him out for a White Sox winner.
0-1 on Joe Creedy. Angels lead 3-2 here in the seventh. And here's Escobar's pitch. Swinging a long one to left. This has got a chance. Revere running back to the bullpen. Gone. We are tied at three.
The 3-2 pitch coming up. A look to second. The runners take off the pitch. Greeny hits a ground ball up the middle. That is knocked down by Kennedy. He's throwing home. Here comes Rowan. Safe at the plate. The White Sox lead 4-3 in the eighth.
Frankie Rodriguez kicks and deals.
Canerco drives it to deep right center field. This is hit way back and off the wall. Guy stops at third. The White Sox lead 5-3 in the ninth in Anaheim. Here's a swing and a ground ball to first. Canerco has it. He steps on the bag. The White Sox have won the pennant. They've won the pennant. A White Sox winner, and they're going to the World Series. They're mobbing Canerco on the first base side of the infield. The White Sox have won four in a row, and they'll start the World Series at home on the South Side next weekend.
Now the pitch, a swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field. This might go. It's a gunner! A two-out home run in the first inning for Jermaine Dye.
Swing long one, deep left center. Gone for a home run. Creedy has untied the score. Sox lead 4-3. Joe, have a postseason to remember.
On the stretch, the pitch.
A hot shot to third. Creedy dives. He has it. Throws to first to get him. Oh, that was hit hard.
Runners at the corners for Biggio. Two down, the pitch. Swing, bouncy ball to third. Creedy dives. Got it. Gets up. Throws to first. Hang a star on that. Just put the World Series on his shoulders.
3-2 with two outs. Springer with a double glance to second. The kick and the pitch. A swing and a drive. Deep right center field. This is going to get down and go to the wall. Krasinski scores. Pacetnik has two. He's going for three. Here's the throw in. It's cut off. A triple for Pacetnik. The White Sox lead 5-3. Here's Jenks with the 0-2 pitch. A fastball struck him out swinging for a White Sox World Series Game 1 winner.
Here's Canerco on the pitch to PK.
Swinging a long one to left. It's going to go. It's a slam. Sox lead 6-4. Light it up.
The 2-1. A swing and a high fly ball. Deep right center field. This is way back in the gap. And it's a gunner. A White Sox winner. A winner on a Pacific home run. And the White Sox go up 2-0 in the 2005 World Series.
Garland ready to go. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Biggio takes a heater. Strike three. Got him looking. Fourth strikeout for John Garland. Works around the leadoff walk here in the seventh.
Go two down. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Strike three called on the inside corner as Hermanson went back in there. He doubled up on the pitch and got him with a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. 2-2 with the bases loaded, two outs in the ninth. Here's the pitch from El Duque. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And we're going to extra innings in Houston, tied at five.
The sidestep, the kick, the right-hander's pitch.
Blum drives it to right field, deep down the line, in the corner, and it's a gunner! A home run for Blum, and the White Sox jump out in front of the 14th, 6-5 on a homer by Blum. From the belt, here's the pitch. A swing and a high pop fly on the infield, backing up to the outfield grass. Uribe is there. He has it for a White Sox winner. And the White Sox are one win away from a world championship.
No score in the eighth with two down.
The 1-1 pitch. Jermaine drives it up the middle. A base hit to center. Harris scores. The White Sox have a 1-0 lead in the eighth.
Out from the set to the runner at second, the 2-2 pitch. A high pop fly down the left field line. Moving toward the stands in foul territory. Uribe is over there.
He reaches. Did he catch it? He caught it. It went into the stands and brought it back out.
How about that?
Unbelievable. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Palmeiro. A ground ball past Jenks up the middle of the infield. Uribe has it. He throws. Out. Out. A White Sox winner and a world championship. The White Sox have won the World Series, and they're mobbing each other on the field.
My, how time flies when you're having fun. That was fantastic listening back to John Rooney and Ed Farmer, rest in peace, Eddie, on the call back in 2005 when the White Sox won the World Series again. We will be celebrating the 20th anniversary this upcoming week. Again, October 22nd, 2005 was the first game of the World Series that year. That's coming up on Wednesday. And, of course, all throughout the week, I'm sure you'll be hearing and seeing lots of great highlights of that time. Hey, White Sox fans, get access to the best seats at the best value and lock in a 2026 ticket plan today. Be here for the biggest matchups, exciting promotions, and opening day on Thursday, April 2nd. Plus, enjoy flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2026. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly, right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, White Sox fans, stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow at White Sox on social today. Speaking of following the White Sox, if you missed it earlier this week, the White Sox announced five roster moves. That is right, five roster moves as they outrighted outfielder Dominic Fletcher, outfielder Corey Julks, right-handed pitcher Elvis Peguero, and right-handed pitcher Owen White to Class AAA Charlotte, the Knights. And outfielder Will Robertson was claimed by the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Will Robertson, who got pretty good run in, I'd say, September after some injuries, hit the White Sox, specifically Luis Robert missed the last month. Mike Tauchman and Andrew Benintendi both missed probably the last week or so of games. Will Robertson played quite a bit at the end of the year. Now, didn't really do a whole lot offensively, but he made some pretty sweet catches in the outfield, including an absolutely filthy robbery in Detroit when he reached up in left field and basically grabbed the ball from going out of the park. And as he made the catch, his arms, rib cage area slammed into the wall. He still held on to it. It was quite impressive. That was, for me, the Will Robertson play that I remember most from this past season. And he will no longer be donning White Sox colors this upcoming season, unless, of course, he reconnects at some point. But he is no longer a member of the White Sox, as the Pittsburgh Pirates claimed him earlier this week, which means the White Sox 40-man roster is now down to 35. So there is the White Sox transactions from earlier this week. I am Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. Let's take a look around the majors. All right, so one storyline that I didn't have a chance to get into last Saturday because I was so enamored and enthused with having watched that epic Game 5 in Seattle. Covered a lot of that game last week here on White Sox Weekly. It was a fantastic game. One of the best MLB playoff games in recent memory, in which the Mariners, in an elimination game, were able to eliminate the Tigers in Game 5 in Seattle. And what I failed to mention, because there was so much to cover in that entire game, and honestly, I had seen it briefly, but it wasn't at the forefront. I didn't have all of the details. And now a week removed, I do have more details where I feel comfortable sharing the entirety of the story with you. So, Humpy the Salmon. That's right. Humpy the Salmon won his first salmon run in 165 tries last Friday night in Seattle. And it was crazy because Humpy has been the proverbial loser. Literally. He was 0-165. And actually, so if you're unfamiliar with the salmon run, which I'll be honest, I didn't have all the exact details. I wasn't aware of the four participants. There's King Salmon. He has a crown and is somewhat of an homage to King Felix, Felix Hernandez, a legendary Seattle Mariner. He's one of the runners, one of the salmon runners. There's Silver Salmon. There's Sockeye Salmon. And there is Humpy Salmon. And again, the Salmon Run had taken place. It began 2 years ago when the Mariners wanted to tap into the mascot run, which I'll admit, I'm an absolute sucker for. I don't know about you guys, but I love whenever a team has a good theme. And I'm honestly, it's important that you have a theme that fits nicely with your region, your team. And, you know, of course, the Nationals have the president mascot race. You've got the pierogi race in Pittsburgh. You've got the sausage race in Milwaukee. So the key is, if you're going to make it memorable, you got to have, you know, a good theme. And I think the Salmon Run is a perfect one for Seattle. So Humpy had lost 165 straight races. And on Friday night, when the Mariners were playing the Tigers in that elimination game, which did go 15 innings, the race takes place in the seventh inning. And Humpy did not snap his streak in the seventh inning. Oh no, friends. It actually took the fact that the game went 15 innings and the Seattle Stadium Ops team decided to re-energize the crowd, which clearly was, I don't want to say fading, but was losing energy, because you're sitting through a 15-inning baseball game. If you're standing for each, and especially an elimination game, a playoff game, where you're looking, you're hoping your team can advance to the ALCS for the first time in 24 seasons, you can understand why through 15 innings, you might be losing a little bit of steam. So Stadium Ops in Seattle decided they needed to do something to re-energize the crowd, because you have a plan for the first nine innings. And maybe if you're, you know, you probably have a couple of things in your back pocket for innings 10 and 11. When you get to 15, you're just drawing it up as you go. You're throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. And so the Mariners Stadium Ops decided that they were going to run a second Salmon Run in the 15th inning. And sure enough, that is when Humpy seized the moment. And apparently, and if you haven't seen it, it's worth seeking out on social media. When he crossed the finish line for his first win, the Seattle crowd exploded. Jorge Polanco even noted that, who actually came up with the game-winning hit, Jorge Polanco noted that he was trying to get locked in, and all of a sudden he heard the crowd explode. And it was like, what's going on? Well, Humpy won for the first time in 166 races.
Jeff, you feel me? You make me feel like we're playing the wrong music here.
What do we need? What are we missing?
What if I told you?
That's beautiful.
That's what I'm hearing as you're doing this.
Well, the truth is, too, Brendan Riley, the executive producer of White Sox Baseball and White Sox Weekly here. No, that's a great call, Brendan, because it absolutely, this is one of those things where you can't just say it. You can't say, oh, we're going to energize the crowd with this. You hope that that's exactly what you do, what you provide. And I will tell you, I do think this played a role. I think it absolutely helped energize the Mariners. Because if you'll remember back to that game, it was crazy. It was like they had the Manfred Runner instituted, because every inning, whether it was the Tigers or the Mariners, one of the teams would get a runner on second base, usually with no outs, and each time, every team came up short. They couldn't drive home the winning run. It was crazy how Jack Flaherty, Bizzardo were escaping these jams. And then ultimately, in the 15th, when the Mariners finally had another shot, another crack at it, I do think the crowd going crazy for Humpy's win provided a little extra spark to the Mariners. They seized the moment, Brendan. They absolutely seized the moment. And that's when you say, truthfully, I do think, and we can go back to the round MLB music there. But I do think, truthfully, that when you think about it, when you say, okay, what can a crowd actually do for a team? There are those moments when you have things like that occur, when a crowd starts to go crazy. I do think that provides a little extra oomph for the players to kind of lock in. I don't think baseball is a sport where you can try harder. It just, it doesn't lend itself to that. It's a skill-based game. But what I do think is, in those moments, it might actually help players focus, lock in, and understand the moment just a little bit more when you have that slight reminder. So I think that played a, I'm not going to say significant, but you'll never be able to tell me that Humpy winning his first salmon run in 166 tries wasn't the spark the Mariners needed. You'll never be able to convince me otherwise. Speaking of other news from around Major League Baseball, now we turn to the losers in the playoffs. And I say that, you know, only half-heartedly, because you made it to the playoffs, so that in itself is a successful season. The Philadelphia Phillies have, they are in this tough spot because they've had a lot of regular season success. And they have made it to the World Series, but they continue to come up short. And this is the infuriating thing about the playoffs at times, is that even when you do everything right, sometimes things just go against you. And unfortunately for the Phillies, I do think it's partially just running into the juggernaut that was and is the LA Dodgers. We hit on that in the first segment. But now the Phillies find themselves in a weird spot. Kyle Schwarber is a free agent. He obviously, I think if you look back on the last couple of seasons, has been the most potent bat in the Phillies lineup. However, I think it's inarguable the heart and soul of the Phillies is Bryce Harper. Now, this was interesting to me. This was yesterday, or I believe it was Thursday. Dave Dombrowski, the Philadelphia Phillies general manager, made an interesting comment in his end of the season press conference wrap up. I found this, I guess it just took me aback. Listen to Dave Dombrowski's response when he was asked about Bryce Harper having a good but not necessarily great season.
Well, I don't think, I mean, in Bryce's case, of course, he's still a quality player. He's still an all-star caliber player. He didn't have an elite season like he has had in the past. And I guess we only find out if he becomes elite or he continues to be good. I mean, it's not like he's, it's like if you say to me, I look around the league, I'm trying to think, Freddie Freeman. He's a really good player, right? He still is a good player. Is he elite like he was before? Probably not to the same extent. And so that's nothing negative. You know, Freddie's a tremendous player. And that's, to me, is Bryce. Can he rise to the next level again? I don't really know that answer. I mean, and really, he's the one that will dictate that more than anything else. I mean, it's what it comes down to. So, I don't think he's content with the year that he had. And again, it wasn't a bad year. But when I think of Bryce Harper, you think an elite, right? You think of one of the top 10 players in baseball, and I don't think it fit into that category. But again, very good player. I have no idea when you see somebody. I have seen guys at his age. Again, he's not old. That level off. Or I've seen guys rise again. We'll see what happens.
Fascinating. Bryce Harper in his age 32 season, he did fall. Like, his OPS was 844. His batting average fell a bit to 261. On base percentage, 357. 3.2 WAR in 132 games. So there was some fall off, but of course he did miss about a month or so with an injury. You know, the numbers aren't so far off. And honestly, especially when you look back at the last couple of two, three seasons in Philly, yeah, 2021, Bryce Harper won his second MVP. He was a monster that year, his third season in Philadelphia. He may not get back to that level. He's still a damn good player. And I really found it odd that Dave Dombrowski was so, maybe it's a completely honest assessment, but I just found it odd that he chose that opportunity to question whether or not Bryce Harper could become elite again. Because you know what? Bryce Harper has never struck me as somebody who's not going to do his absolute most to get the most out of himself talent-wise. So I just found that an odd choice by Dave Dombrowski and something to keep an eye on to see if there's any discontent in Philadelphia about how the Phillies general manager puts, I don't want to say on blast, but he put Bryce Harper on blast a little bit. Hey, can you get back to this level? That was interesting to me. I'm Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. When we come back, we will wrap up this edition with my favorite moments of the past week. Yes, we will go to Italy for some baseball talk. We'll do that next right here on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. 1000.
Happy Saturday to you. Hope you're having a fabulous one. I'm Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. Hey, Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider and get special offers, including single game ticket presales and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. So you may remember earlier this year when we officially got the news that the first ever American Pope had been elected in Vatican City. Of course you remember that, White Sox fans. Pope Leo XIV, who was, we go back to 2005, because famously now, he was in attendance for the White Sox win in Game 1 of the 2025 World Series, and he was in attendance in Section 140 with White Sox season ticket holder, the late Ed Schmidt. And Pope Leo was there at that game. You've probably seen video at this point of him in the stands, a much younger, of course, Pope Leo, not Pope at the time, but back in the stands watching the White Sox win their first World Series game that season. And it was quite an event earlier this year when he was elected Pope. And, of course, it brought the interesting claim by the Cubs that he was a Cubs fan. Hey, Chicago, the Pope's a Cubs fan. You remember that across the Wrigley marquee, and then of course they had to quickly tuck their tail between their legs there was video evidence very quickly that Pope Leo was indeed a White Sox fan. And I have to admit, this kind of warmed my heart a little bit earlier this week, as in Vatican City, as the Pope was out greeting all those in attendance to see him, putting on waves, and of course plenty of proud, I'm sure, Catholics, and not just Catholics, but probably plenty of folks out there just out there to catch a glimpse of his holiness, saw the true Sox fan of Pope Leo come out. As he was riding down, meeting the crowd, you heard from the fans a chant, not a chant, it was just a call from a clearly a Cubs fan, say, "Go Cubs." And then Pope Leo on the spot with exactly what you would hope for from a Sox fan with the response. This was earlier this week in Vatican City. That's right. Pope Leo shot back, "They lost," in Italian, and then translated into English, "They lost." Perfect. I loved it. It was so good. Again, it just warmed my heart to have His Holiness, who is should be theoretically unifying, bringing together, except when it comes to his baseball fandom, folks. How about that, too? The Pope out there in Italy keeping tabs on the MLB playoffs. I just love it. I don't know. It just absolutely makes me giddy. And again, it's in another tough season, it was one of the highlights to learn that the Pope was indeed a White Sox fan. And then for him to lean into it this past week was just perfect. Of course, if you have not been to Wright Field recently or earlier this season, Section 140, that is where Pope Leo did sit. And that is, the tickets are still in the Schmidt family's household, even though Ed, who went to the game with Pope Leo, has since passed. The tickets are still in the family, so they still have those tickets. So you cannot technically purchase the ticket where the Pope sat. However, there is a mural in Section 140 as you enter into the on the concourse level, as you enter where the seats are in that section. You can actually see Pope Leo, the graphic installation there. So it's a pretty cool, go check it out if you're at Wright Field next season. Take a walk around, check out Section 140, and you can see the commemorative mural of Pope Leo there. And I just love the fact that he's taunting Cubs fans after they were eliminated. It's something I did not anticipate coming earlier this week. So it was a fun little thing that came across, which I did certainly enjoy. All right, that is going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly, as we will be back again next week celebrating what is indeed going to be a week where we reminisce, because, of course, the World Series anniversary, the 20th anniversary, is upon us here this week. So going to be seeing a lot of that, and we're also going to be doing more retrospective again next week. Carmen DeFalco of Carmen and Yurko fame here on ESPN 1000 is going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about the 2005 championship run by the White Sox. He was in attendance for, I don't know if it was all the games, but he traveled with the team, covering the team for the station here. When it was Carmen and Sylvie, he was in attendance for a lot of those games. So he's going to join me next week here on White Sox Weekly as we reminisce about all of the great times and kind of just talk about where the White Sox are at right now as a team, too, and how they get back to winning a World Series. So Carmen will be joining me, and we'll be talking a lot about the World Series next week as well, and also keeping you up to date on what's going on with your White Sox right here on White Sox Weekly. I'll remind you, celebrate your special occasion in 2026 with a White Sox party area. Reserve your group outing today to get access to the best spaces and top matchups like opening day on April 2nd, plus big matchups against the Cubs, they lost, Dodgers, and Yankees. For more information, visit whitesox.com/groups or call 312-674-1000. I'm Jeff Meller. That's going to do it for me here on White Sox Weekly. Talk to you again next week right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.